Beloved friends, we greet you in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We welcome you to the broadcast, and may God the Holy Spirit sanctify the truth we have already covered from God's Word on this subject of the problem of sin. But let us never minimize the seriousness of sin, not only in time, but also the seriousness of sin for eternity. It has been well stated that if we were to be able to consider or could perfectly know the seriousness of sin, there are three great oceans to explore. First, there is the ocean of human experience and human suffering from the beginning of history, from the beginning of time. The trials, the heartaches, the human suffering, the pain, the torture, the wars, the bloodshed, the strife, the lawlessness, and all that sin from the beginning of time with its entrance into the human family has caused. Beloved, what an ocean of suffering the human family has experienced. Why? The cause, the root of it, sin, beyond our comprehension. And we would have to fathom and understand and measure it, if it were possible. And my beloved, think of even the present suffering through the world. But think of all the sufferings from the beginning of time down to this moment. What an ocean, never to be able to explore it to the full. History could not write it. God alone knows it. But there's another ocean to explore that also would be needed if we could fathom and, if possible, know the ocean of the sufferings of Christ when he was upon the cross. When all the sins of humanity, from the Garden of Eden to the end of human history, were placed upon the sacrificial body and holy soul of the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. He bore our sins in his own body upon the tree, Peter has written, an incalculable weight, of which the prophet Isaiah has written, Jehovah hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. My beloved, let me please give you the suggestion, may it be in your heart and indelibly written upon your heart and mind. Meditate upon the fact, the depth, the height, and the length, and the breadth of all his sufferings, we shall never understand. When one died for all and suffered the eternal penalty that all deserved, well, as the poet properly written, there was none other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. I invite you, my listener, take serious meditation and dwell in thought upon the sufferings of Christ. Not his physical sufferings only, greater than that. The anguish of his soul, the suffering of his holy soul, when he became sacrificially what you and I are actually, to take the penalty, to bear the judgment of all human sin. Christ died for all is the word of God. And my beloved, I want you to think very carefully, seriously, prayerfully on the fact, not your sins alone, not just my sins alone, but the sins of the whole world. He bore in his own body our sins. He had none of his own, but he bore ours upon the trees. What an ocean to explore. God lead us by his Spirit to do some of it. But there is a third ocean of suffering, if we would measure the seriousness of sin, and that would be the eternal wages, the endless suffering for the lost and the doomed, which will be experienced in the eternal abode of eternal hell. The Word of God not only reveals that there is everlasting life for those who are redeemed and trust the Savior, but it also reveals that there is everlasting punishment, a punishment that never ends, for those who are lost. Listen to the Son of God himself declaring to an unrepentant Christ rejecters, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." Matthew 25 and verse 41. And the final separation between those who belong to him and those who were not his, he declared in Matthew 25, verse 46, when he said, "These whom he rejects shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." Yes, my beloved, the punishment is just as eternal as the blessing is eternal for those who are saved. But praise God, 'tis not necessary for you, my friend, to be lost. 'Tis not necessary that you or anyone should go to hell. The Lord Jesus can remove the condemnation of the judgment that is upon us and over us, and remove it forever from the sight of a holy God who justly condemns sin and the sinner. Now let us ask the question, how? How can Christ deliver the sinner from guilt and condemnation? Let me go with you to the Word of God in Romans 3, verses 23 through 26. Listen to the words. First we find the apostle saying, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Romans 3:23. There we hear and see and read our universal as well as our individual condemnation. But in verse 24, God says we can be justified, cleared, the condemnation removed is the meaning of the word, and freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Note what it cost you and what it would cost me to be justified, which means to be freed, the judgment removed. It is done freely. It costs the sinner absolutely nothing. It's without money and without price. And note the source of this justification. It comes to us through God's grace. This means God's favor toward the sinner, who is not yet justified, even before he or she is saved. In grace, God has manifested his love toward the ungodly through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Or will you note two facts? Two divine persons are involved to do the work for the sinner to save them. It is God who does the work of justifying. It is Christ who is the mediator or the medium. God's grace comes to the sinner through Christ. For Christ did the work. He paid for our redemption upon the cross. Then go to verse 25. Christ has set forth a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare God's righteousness. For God freely justifies, clears every charge away by means of the ransom price that Christ paid. God says in this 25th verse that the blood of Christ is a perfect propitiation. It has perfectly met the need. His blood perfectly has met the need for every sinner. God is satisfied with the sacrifice, and did not he himself provide it? And it becomes for you and me a propitiation, not by works, but through faith. Faith says, "I will accept what God has provided for my sin." And if God, my beloved friend, is satisfied with the sacrifice of Christ, if God is satisfied with the value of his precious blood, should not you and I take God at his word and by faith say, "If the blood of Christ that was shed for me has satisfied God for my sin, I will put my faith in the blood of Christ." It is the value of the precious blood of Christ in God's sight first that provides my justification, my forgiveness, your forgiveness, and the removal of your condemnation and mine. Oh, you ask, but is this right for God to do it? Listen to Romans 3:26. To declare at this time God's righteousness. Absolutely righteous for him to do it, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Oh, my beloved friend, let me state, God now can justly, through the sacrifice and the value of the sacrifice of Christ, forgive the sinner who believes in Jesus. That sacrifice was made by Christ in order that God might righteously, justly, with no one to challenge his righteousness or justice, to forgive the sinner who believes in Jesus. Christ died for men that his precious blood would be their redemption price. It is a righteous thing, and also it is a merciful thing, for God to forgive any and every believing sinner. And what does this really mean? It means that through the blood of Christ, God's Son, he can pronounce a sinner just, cleared from all condemnation of their sins, who believes in Jesus. We sometimes think the problem of sin raises the question, how can we get men to God? But actually, the great problem of sin was how to get God to meet men, to receive men who were sinners, and to do it justly in pronouncing a believing sinner just. Did not the apostle write, for there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. My beloved radio friend, place your faith now in the blood of Christ. Christ will bring God to you. In reconciliation, God will receive you. You will be brought to God, but only Christ through his blood, and your faith in that blood, can remove forever your condemnation before God. My beloved, has God removed the condemnation? In other words, have you said, Lord Jesus, I'll trust thy precious blood and plead that to be brought to God? Father, bless and sanctify the truth in Jesus' name for his glory and the blessing of all. Amen.